Eisner and Jobs came from different backgrounds and opposite coasts, but they were similar in being strong-willed and without much inclination to find compromises. They both had a passion for making good products, which often meant micromanaging details and not sugarcoating their criticisms. Watching Eisner take repeated rides on the Wildlife Express train through Disney World's Animal Kingdom and coming up with smart ways to improve the customer experience was like watching Jobs play with the interface of an iPod and find ways it could be simplified. Watching them manage people was a less edifying experience. Both were better at pushing people than being pushed, which led to an unpleasant atmosphere when they started trying to do it to each other. In a disagreement, they tended to assert that the other party was lying. In addition, neither Eisner nor Jobs seemed to believe that he could learn anything from the other, nor would it have occurred to either even to fake a bit of deference by pretending to have anything to learn. Jobs put the onus on Eisner. The worst thing to my mind was that Pixar had successfully reinvented Disney's business, turning out great films one after the other, while Disney turned out flop after flop. You would think that the CEO of Disney would be curious how Pixar was doing that, but during the 20-year relationship, he visited Pixar for a total of about 2.5 hours, only to give little congratulatory speeches. He was never curious. I was amazed. Curiosity is very important. That was overly harsh. Eisner had been up to Pixar a bit more than that, including visits when Jobs wasn't with him. But it was true that he showed little curiosity about the artistry or technology at the studio. Jobs, likewise, didn't spend much time trying to learn from Disney's management.